which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servants. Things that must shortly take place. He was wanting to let them see and understand in the book of Revelation something that was going to happen, and it was going to desperately try the church in that day and time. It would try the faith of every member of the Lord's church. And it was that kind of book. It's kind of like Genesis or maybe the book of Psalms or some of those other books like that that can talk to people in every, probably in every age of being a saint of God. So when we start off in the first chapter, well, look with me. If you're there with me, look in the third chapter. Third chapter, again, we're not going to get into the churches, the letters to the churches of Asia, but just some passages that you pick out and I hope would be helpful for us. Third chapter, Revelation, where he's writing to the church of Philadelphia. He tells them in verse 11, he says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." And that seems to be, like I said, the backdrop of the whole book is I'm coming quickly. Something's going to be dealt with, and what I would expect of you as faithful saints is to hang on, to be what I would have you to be. Look over in the 16th chapter. Kind of go through it rather quick. Then we get to the last chapter where really I wanted to make some points for us. But in the 16th chapter, have the same thing again, it looks like. We read the first verse about things that are going to happen shortly, and then the third chapter about things that he wanted them to face. Here in the 16th chapter, verse 15, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." But the thing about really was the closing part of the letter. Look with me on the 22nd chapter. In the 22nd chapter, he really gets to this idea of what he was wanting us to see and think about, because three times here he talks about this. 22nd chapter, verse 7. Again, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Or down at verse 12, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega." And then further down in verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." Just reading these passages, Jesus said, "I'm coming quickly. We're going to address some things. We're going to have to go through some difficult times. But he said, I want you to be faithful. And he said, I'm going to bring my reward with me to give to everyone according to his work." And so when you finally come to the last chapter, you have here in the last chapter sort of a condensing of what he's been trying to say all the way from the first verse of the letter. He said, things that are going to happen. And he said, I want you to be faithful to it. And he said, I'm coming quickly. And in chapter 22, we have the last of several things. Just as you look at it, if you're there with me in the 22nd chapter, look down at verse 17. The last invitation is the way commentators like to say it. Verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." An invitation to everyone, an invitation to all to come to Christ. And then, amazingly, a call for, not to be convoluted about it, but a call for all to call. Everyone get involved in that idea. Read that again, verse 17. He says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." That's what the Spirit and the bride say. But then, "And let him who hears say what? Come." Let not just the Spirit and the bride be the ones saying, come, but also the people who read this and understand it. Let them be the ones who are inviting also. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. And then in the chapter, in the book of Revelation, here in the last chapter, this is what we call the last invitation. But then look with me down in verse 18. He changes, but it's still this idea of the last. Verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part in the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Amazing. So we have in verse 17, the last invitation that's given here. And then when you get to verse 18 and 19, it's what they call, obviously, the last warning. It's serious business is what he is saying. Do not take away, do not add to the Word of God. That's simple enough. And then he comes down to verse 20. And this is called the last prayer in the Bible. And again, in verse 20 of Revelation 22, read it again. It says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And if you read all of those verses that I read about him who is coming from third chapter on, and also in the first chapter you could find it, you know very well this is Jesus speaking, surely I'm coming quickly. And yet, how John responds to it is a fascinating thought. Verse 20, he says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. That's Jesus speaking. But then John speaks. And John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So here's John taking his part also and being the type that would invite people to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And this is not an invitation to people. This is an invitation to the Lord to come. As you read verse 20 again, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. And John steps in with his writing. He says, amen. Interesting, you got a prayer here that actually is begun with the word amen, the way John writes it. And he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And you might be tripped up, and I'm reading, again, the New King James. The word surely, there in verse 20, surely I come quickly, and the word even so are the same Greek word. Sometimes we think of, even so, well, okay, we'll do it that way. And that's not what he was saying. He was saying, surely I'm coming quickly. And John responds, amen, even so, or surely come, Lord Jesus. What a tremendous thing. And that ought to be a thought on the mind of every Christian, every child of God, every day we live. This might be the last day, and this might be the day we stand before the wonderful, magnificent throne of the Lord. And when we talk about just this wonderful small little prayer, it's interesting how things happen in this last chapter to kind of bring it all to a close, but it ends with a very small prayer. A prayer that John says that number one is a prayer for a very sudden, quick coming. And that's important that we would understand this. And that's what Jesus is saying. Surely I'm coming quickly. This is something that's going to happen like that. And he's telling his churches this. And this is the attitude that they're to have by which we serve the Lord. And that ought to be what we would think of also. The response to surely I come quickly is just amen. And that's a wonderful thought of John, as we just read it. All things about Jesus must be taken by faith. Everything we know about Jesus, we know from the written divine will of God, and it's that which allows us to be able to understand Him just by our faith in Him. And what Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everything we know about Jesus, everything we understand here is what we're reading right here on this place. And this prayer is accepting the return of Jesus to deal in any judgmental way or in any way with the history of the church or with us at the great judgment. We understand that by faith, because it's revealed to us in Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter, and we read beginning down at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Old Testament prophets continually talked about the Messiah is coming, and all of them believed that by faith. The revelation of God, the things, the writings of Moses, the writings of Isaiah, the writings of Daniel, all of them were predicting the coming of the great Messiah, and it was all by their faith. And you and I look back at the coming of Jesus and the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, all being fulfilled. We believe that by the reading of this scripture that is given to us, by the very faith that we have from the revelation of God. You always see these movies every now and then. Some guy is carrying around some sign that says the end is near. That's a whole lot like what's happening here. It's a preparation on the part of people of God to be prepared that the end can come quickly. Either we might pass on this life quickly, or the end of the world might come quickly, and we should be prepared at all times. Watchful all time. Look what, back in Matthew 24. Jesus is talking about, they're thinking he's talking about the end of the world. And he is saying, no, that's not the point I'm really making. But in Acts 24th chapter, and you read down about verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus says, But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be, a lot of people have no idea what happens in the blink of an eye. And as a result, we're to be watchful. We're to be those type of people who know very well the Bible tells us, I'm coming quickly. And when we talk about the scenes that are developed in the book of Revelation, about some problems in the church and the problems that churches will be facing, it's also true about the end of time and your and my passing from this life into the very presence of the Lord. If you're there with me in Matthew the 24th or the 25th chapter, look at verse 13 of Matthew 25. It just simply says, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. If we don't know, then we need to be prepared right now to today. And I think it's even more than just a day or an hour. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, you recall that section is, see, down to about verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15, and down to about verse 50, Paul says this. He says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. We shall be changed how? In a twinkling of an eye. That's not even talking about a day. That's not talking about an hour, is it? That's talking about like that. That's how quick it's going to be. And in these pictures we're reading here is telling us we're to be these kinds of people that we're ready. If today the Lord were to call us to account, we're ready. And we should think about that. That shouldn't be something we wring our hands over or are all upset about. We just simply say, I'm prepared to meet the Lord and answer to Him and hear from Him, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's His concern throughout the book of Revelation. He wants His churches to stand. And He wants them to know, I'm coming quickly. You just be faithful to me. I'll take care of it. That's what He wants us to see. Well, back in Revelation 22, it's not only in this passage where we read verse 20, He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. And John says, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This prayer is not only a prayer of the sudden coming of the Lord, the sudden coming of judgment, but it is a prayer of just interrupting life, really. An interruption to the earth and the earth's history, or a stopping and ceasing of the very history of the earth. He just mixed it, simply says, surely I will come. Quickly. Sometimes the word coming there, erkamai, is the word that sometimes translated just appear. And if we're talking about the twinkling of an eye, that may be just as good. Just to think of it as to appear. And that's the point He wants us to understand. We all make plans. We all have to make plans. We do it every day, every week, every month. We've got to think ahead of what we've got to do tomorrow and things like that. We make those plans and we're busy. There's not anything wrong with it. Matter of fact, it's expected of us. Places we plan to go, things we want to try to accomplish to get done. But we have to temper our plans with the Lord's will. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Look with me over in James, the 4th chapter, passage you know very well, and yet it's one we should read often. James, the 4th chapter. Run in verse, he's talking to members of the church here that are going about doing business and buying and selling and getting gain and a lot of other things and not taking into account what might happen. James, the 4th chapter, verse 13, he says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That ought to be our attitude. Not some foreboding attitude of, well, I might die tomorrow. Not like that, but I might go to see the Lord tomorrow. And all the plans I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try to get done. But if the Lord wants me to be in His presence tomorrow, so be it. That's an important thought for us to think about. Is that so many times the Lord's will supersedes our plans, don't they? And you can see that all through the Bible as to what's happening. I remember reading back, reading it for another class. Back in 1 Samuel 3, where young Samuel was laying on his bed and the Lord spoke to him and he got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am. And you might remember the story. And Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lay down. Of course, it happened again. And Eli recognized what was happening. He said, if he speaks to you again, you say to him, your servant heareth. And that's what Samuel did. And that's the way we need to do it. Sometimes it may be just a over in Acts, the 9th chapter, sometimes it may just be a complete barging in on things that we've got planned and to change a person's heart and mind, like Acts, the 9th chapter. Talking about Paul, or Saul, at this time. In verse 3 of Acts, the 9th chapter, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, this will change your day and your calendar up, wouldn't it? And the Lord said, or Paul said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. And verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a change of schedule, isn't it? And we need to have that frame of mind disposition. We need to understand that things happen in our life that we're not an oak tree that exists for decades and decades and decades. We're not a mountain that extends for centuries and centuries. We're described as a vapor. And he's not saying we are insignificant as vapor. He's not saying that. Jesus came into this world to die for us. We're eternal beings. What he's wanting us to understand is that our life on this earth is insignificant and as a vapor. We're eternal beings. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. That's why James says, what is your life? It's but a vapor. He said, the way you should talk is, if the Lord wills. That's the way we ought to do it. Not just a vapor, but other kinds of interruptions can happen in our lives, and truly things we may not want to go through, difficult things, maybe death of a loved one, some disaster, illnesses, trials, just all kinds that demand that we stop what we're doing right then and deal with something for the next few days, weeks, months, maybe even years. That's what the Lord would expect of us. And this prayer here that we read in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, is John saying, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because he knew what was going to happen when the Lord came. A lot of things were going to stop. And so we have here just this attitude and this idea of an interruption of the plans of the earth. And that's what it's going to be. He's going to be someone who interrupts. And we just stop and think and ask ourselves, how important is the return of Christ to us right now today? Well, I think we'd all say, well, it's very important. It's the very reason we continue to serve the Lord. It's the reason we're trying to please Him and be a person that can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look over in 2 Thessalonians. We've read this one before, but it's just this description that is given of the faithful child of God. 2 Thessalonians 1, and you read, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Interesting that we could pray, come Lord Jesus. And that might be the very thoughts that so many Christians throughout the centuries prayed, Lord, do something. Bring us home. Let me suggest to you, last of all, just this idea of John saying, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, is not just this idea that the suddenness of the coming of Christ in the twinkling of an eye, or just the interruption of life itself, our plans, our thoughts, everything we're trying to do, and we stand in the presence of the Lord, but also this idea of recognizing this is going to be a personal meeting between you and the Lord, between I and the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 10, let me just read it too because I know you know it, but 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, Paul makes this statement, and it says down in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That each one. That's personal, isn't it? That's standing before His judgment throne. That's face to face with the Creator of the universe. What we were just talking a moment ago in Matthew 25, that we could hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I mean, standing before the Creator of the universe, not way up yonder in the cheap seats, right down here. That's where it's going to be. We will stand before Him. John's conclusion after viewing this future is just, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Is Christ coming something that plays a part in your thinking on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, as we assemble, not only assemble here, but to talk about it? And I think this is what Paul was talking about over in Titus, the second chapter, when he mentioned down in verse 13, says, "We were looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." When we stand before the Lord, when Christ does come, just think through the list of what that's going to mean. I mean, when time shall be no more and we stand before Him, all of the resurrection of the dead of all of the ages, I can't imagine that. That's just astounding. We'll all be brought forth from the grave. The judgment of all the nations, all the judgments of all the nations, of all history, the receiving of eternal, unending rewards, and being with Jesus in heaven. I think this was on the mind of John when he says here in the next to the last verse in the book of Revelation, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly." And John says, "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I pray that would be our attitude as we think of the time of meeting Jesus, that we have had such a faith and a conviction in Him, and that we have looked forward to this day in which we could be delivered from the problems of this world, the sins, the heartaches, the pains of the body, the life that we live. There are many blessings here, but there are far more blessings coming. But just think about that. The final prayer of the book of Revelation given by John. "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And I would hope that would be our thought if we think about our life and service to Him. If you're here tonight, you're not a member of the body of Christ. We hadn't been talking about the plan of salvation, but if you're subject to the call of the Lord by the gospel, if you have such a faith in Him that you're willing to confess that faith and be buried in baptism, raised to walk in a newness of life, or again, maybe you might be a child of God and desire just the prayers of the brethren here because of some problems and issues you're facing. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?